This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida. And Holiday Friday.
It's Holiday for TGIF. And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 29th, episode 988, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Well, good God almighty, this week's been too much long. Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Holiday Friday, Labor Day on Monday, and we are going to respect the holiday of labor like everybody else does by taking the day off.
I was going to ask you that. Are we off on Monday? Because that'd be fantastic.
Yes, we are off. Yeah, we are off. It's a long weekend for us. We'll be no show. We'll be back on Tuesday. But I got to say, there's one thing I want to say right away, is who posted the cutest hit 'em happy picture yet yesterday? Who
would that have been?
Yeah, that'd have been you.
That
was one of the cutest pictures ever. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, so somebody gave us, when he was born, a flight suit.
Baby Luke,
actual...
we're talking about. Baby Luke, not a horse, her baby.
A baby flight suit. For a, I don't know, it's supposed to be 24 months. My baby's 14 months, and it kind of fit him, so he's very tall. We tried it on him yesterday, and Chad went and got all the patches off of his flight suit and put them on this baby flight suit. And the pictures, oh, my gosh, they were so cute. It's like he knew he was dressed up like his daddy, and he's, like, marching around the backyard. It is, like, 100 degrees, so we did take it off of him rather quickly. But Zenyatta was following him around, my dog, and it was just adorable. And there's an actual plane flew overhead, and he's, like, looking up at the plane in the sky because we're in the flight path for all the F-16s. So he's, like, looking at the plane, and he's wearing the flight suit. It was just the cutest thing ever. So there you go. I posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and I don't even care if you're a baby person or not. This is like the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Well, you know, it would have been cute, but I think what really added to it was the patches. Having the patches on there really made it work. Because
yeah,
he has Chad's
actually,
name on there. It's cute.
You can actually buy baby patches, which Chad is going to do, but we don't have those because this outfit, I just found it in the closet yesterday, and I'm like, oh, we need to try it on him. It looks like it should fit him. And so he put his dad's patches on, and they're huge. They're huge patches, and it was very adorable. Oh, I'm looking at it now. It makes me squeal. Eee! It's like having a cute puppy. You can dress up.
You know you're doomed, right? He's not going to be into horses. He's going to be a pilot. You know that, right?
I know. Yeah. You know, you're as sure. long as he gives me, like, when he's six, he likes horses and rides with me. You know, I don't care if he's a teenager and he wants to chase girls and fly planes. That's fine. Just give me the young years of hanging out and riding horses. Just a couple.
I guarantee you he is not going to be as excited to put on his first pair of breeches as he was in this flight outfit.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait to get breeches for him. Do they make baby breeches? I need to Google that right now. It's got to be on, like, Etsy or something. Ah, I got to do that. How cute. How many more likes would that?
With
a baby in a little...
out.
Yes, a little diaper with breeches. Ah, I got to do that right now. I'm Googling.
All right, well, we'll go to Jennifer and find out what's on today's show in the meantime.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products, Glenn is all jacked up from watching too much FEI coverage on TV, Freestyle Friday edition, smack in the middle of a record crowd of stories from Normandy, the unlikely story of Lakota Lace, the dressage horse making headlines in the western states, and really bad ads rounds out the show to put Glenn over the edge for one final time, like a kid at the ball game with two cotton candies, one in each hand.
Thank you, Jennifer. I was thinking about funnel cake today. I haven't had funnel cake in years. I'd like to have funnel cake.
Oh, thank God you haven't. Your life is longer because you haven't had funnel cake in years.
So good. My Daily Winnie goes out to one of our good listeners, and we love to hear from her. Her name is Lindsay Roush, and she posted her Hit 'em Happy yesterday on our Facebook page. By the way, if you don't know what Hit 'em Happy is and you're just joining us, we started this, 20-some days ago, now 24 days ago, where we just encouraged us and our listeners to find something that made you happy every day and take a picture of it and post it on our Facebook page with the tag pound Hit 'em Happy. And I'm impressed the number of people have been doing it. If you lost your way, maybe forgot a day or two and thought you were out of the running, there's no rules here. There's no contest. Nobody wins anything. So just start up again. It's that simple. I've missed an occasional day, and I know Jamie has, and you know our listeners have, but you just start up again and keep posting this. The idea is you're supposed to make yourself happy every day by finding that thing that makes you happy. And Lindsay, if I remember right, Jamie, she told us when she called in that one time that this is her first horse in a long time is what I kind of remember. So she was very excited about getting it. Is that right?
Yeah, she was a listener that was listening to our show's Horseless. I mean,
right.
Who does that? So it's awesome that she's finally getting her first pony. I'm so excited. Congratulations.
And she posted a picture. Her pony's name is going to be Ellie. So congratulations and good luck with Ellie. You're going to have so much fun. That means she'll stop listening now because she'll be too busy. So it's been good having you as a listener, Lindsay.
You're being kidding. OMG, I've got to head to Vegas, and I'll tell you why. Because tomorrow is the day, the triumphant return of Wise Dan. My boyfriend, Wise Dan, is going in the Bernard Baruch Handicap tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
It is the Bernard. We'll have to maybe Monday do the, what is the Bernard Baruch? But is the Bernard Baruch Handicap at Saratoga. It's the closing day of Saratoga. Oh, he's making his comeback after colic surgery, I don't know, like a week ago. He's just so amazing. And they're all saying that this is the time to beat Wise Dan. This is the time. And, yeah, I'm sure he's probably going to be the betting favorite, but all the handicappers are picking other horses. So he is number four. And he's being ridden by John Velasquez, as usual. And he's going to be going up against all the great turf horses that there are. So we wish him the best of luck. Daily Winnie, whoop, whoop, Wise Dan. I wish I had a nickel for every Daily Winnie I'd given Wise Dan.
Yes. I think Wise Dan definitely has the record for the number of Daily Winnies, that's for sure.
Yeah, Wise Dan and Zenyatta have been my horses. So, Wise Dan, good luck tomorrow in the Bernard Baruch $250,000 Grade 2 stakes race. So, good luck.
Very good. Well, there's been a lot happening over in France, so we're going to go right into this.
2014, the year of the 7th World Equestrian Games, and the turn of Normandy to stage the biggest equestrian event in the world.
Yesterday was day 4 of the World Equestrian Games, and a lot going on. Let's take a listen to the highlight reel from the FEI.
Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games' longest day proved to be a dramatic one. Down at the Endurance, the adverse weather conditions and tough first and second loops of a spectacular course were a challenge too much for some. Reigning world champion Maria Alvarez Fonton sustained an injury early on, which eventually took her out of the competition. the stunning scenery did not detract from what was a fantastic day of sport. The cool head of His Excellency Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed Al Maktoum, with his bay mare Yamama, led the pack throughout the day, finishing through the final vet check with a total time of 8 hours, 8 minutes and 28 seconds. Down at the Parc des Expositions, the second individual qualifier in the reining was underway. With 23 combinations already qualified from the team competition, only 5 more spots were available. The best score from today came from USA's Troy Hakes, with a score of 73.5%. Canada's Cody Sapergia, Great Britain's Josh Collins, Italy's Stefano Ferri, and Frenchman Romuald Pouard took the remaining 4 spots. The USA now have 6 through to Saturday's final. At the eventing dressage competition, it was William Fox Pitt who leads after day 1. Germany's Michael Jung sits in 2nd place, with fellow countryman Ingrid Klimke in 3rd. Great Britain leads the team standings, with Germany in 2nd and New Zealand in 3rd. We finally finished today's action down at La Prairie Racecourse with individual medals for the Grade 4, 2 and 1A para-dressage competitions. Michelle George stole the show in this morning's Grade 4 class with a score of 74.595%. In the Grade 2 competition, it was Dutch rider Riks van Horst riding Uniek, who were on fine form. The pair finished their day off with a final score of 72.457, just ahead of Great Britain's Natasha Baker. The day closed with the individual Grade 1A medals, and it was another gold for Team Great Britain, with Sophie Christiansen on Geniero 6. With the final results in, the team from Great Britain confirmed their status as the greatest para-dressage team in the world.
Well, we're on to day 5 today. On the lineup, we have dressage right now going on is the Grand Prix Freestyle. 15 rider of the top riders from the individual competition. We're here doing the freestyle. It's happening right now. We'll give you a report on that in just a minute. Freestyle is always my favorite thing to watch. That's where they ride a basically test of their own design to music. The para dressage was also doing their individual freestyle tests today, and then eventing was on day 2 of dressage, and we caught up with Leslie Wiley, of course, of Horse Nation. She joins us here every Monday. We caught up with her right before the show started today and managed to get an interview with her. She's out there watching the eventing dressage, so a lot of dressage going on there today. But yesterday was quite a day. We have Karen Chatton coming on a little later in the show. It's going to be right before Really Bad Ads. And, of course, Karen is the one that joins us for our very popular endurance episode every month as co-host. And she's going to talk to us about the wild times at endurance yesterday at the World Equestrian Games. But let's give you a quick medal update. Right now, the United States isn't doing so well. We have one medal, one gold medal. Leading the pack is Great Britain with a total of 7 medals. They're also leading in the gold medals. That's partly because of the para-equestrian. They just dominated all the classes over there. They always do. So they are leading the way with 7 medals, 4 of them gold. Germany's in 2nd place with 5 medals, 2 of them gold. Netherlands in 3rd place with 7 medals and 1 of them gold. Then it comes Belgium, Spain, United Arab Emirates, and the United States with 1 medal, 1 gold medal, and that was for team in reigning. Well, Sheikh Mohammed, and I think Jamie's off handling things right now at the house, but Sheikh, and she loves to say his name. I just call him Sheikh Mohammed because I can't say his whole name, but he pretty much led the endurance the entire time yesterday and won it at the end. He came in 2nd in 2010. To, as you heard in that report, to the girl from Spain who was injured early in the race. There was a lot of issues yesterday. The first couple loops, they do a total of 5 loops in this particular race for 100 miles, and the first couple of loops were just mud-drenched messes. And what happened, and we'll find out more from Karen, but we're going to find out what happened there. Only 22% of the riders finished the race. So...
yeah. I don't know what the average statistic there is, but that sounds awfully low.
Well, like Tevis, it's usually between 45 and 50% for Tevis, which is the toughest ride here in the United States. So it is really low. It is really, really low. There was, unfortunately, one death. One of the riders or one of the horses actually hit a tree and was killed instantly. And that rider from Costa Rica, the horse's name was Dorado, and the rider from Costa Rica, Claudia Shankan, I can't say her last name, is in the hospital now, had fractures and internal injuries, but she's in serious but stable condition at this point. There were also several other riders that sustained injuries. We had broken bones and different things along the way yesterday. A lot of the horses were pulled for, you know, suspensions for cardio problems, things like that. That's why they do those vet checks. They worked yesterday because there were a lot of horses that were pulled out. We'll find out all more about that from Karen. Spain ended up winning the gold medal through attrition, I think, because so many of the other teams, they were the only ones that – they won the team gold, yes. Sheikh Mohammed for the United Arab Emirates won the first, he's the ruler of Dubai, by the way. Yeah, he won the individual, and then Spain won the team gold. And I think Spain won the team gold because they were maybe the only ones that had actually three riders left.
So how many countries fielded teams, do you know?
I do not know without looking, but I do know that, like, United States, we had five riders there. Remember we had one of the riders on right before she left for the World Equestrian Games, and she was out in, I think, the set loop number two. Out of the United States, only one rider finished, and that's Jeremy Olsen was the only one to finish.
Wow.
France, only one rider finished.
It's not like we had inexperienced riders, you know?
No, and, you know, these are the most fit horses in the world. I mean, all the horses that compete, you know, especially in eventing and stuff at the World Equestrian Games are fit, but these are super fit. I'm interested to ask Karen what she's learned about the reasons why it was so tough. Well, going on from there, we'll talk more about endurance later on. The eventing dressage, or right now we'll give you an update. The freestyle dressage is going on right now, and it looks like there's about six riders left to go. Michael Eilberg from Great Britain is leading the way with a score of 79. Yeah, and then we have a rider from Denmark. Stefan Peters is still sitting in third with Legolas. Then we have a rider from the Netherlands, and then Carl Hester on Nip Tuck is sitting in fifth place. Those will change, and they will all drop because the last five to go are the top riders in the competition. We have Evelyn Nielsen, Charlotte Desjardins. So we have the top riders yet to come.
So the freestyle is done in reverse order of point standings? Is that how they're doing it?
Yeah, it's done in reverse order of how they placed in their individual competition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that makes it fun for the audience, to the big build-up and all.
Yeah, so it should be interesting to see, you know, what happens here because, as I said, the top riders are yet to come. But it looks like Great Britain is, you know, in position to probably have three of the top ten again. They're just kicking butt so far. And, of course, over on the eventing side of things, right now they are finishing up the dressage part of the eventing competition. After day one, William Fox Pitt was in the lead, and he is still in the lead as of this point. Jonathan Pageant, who we'll talk about a little bit later with Leslie Wiley, is still in second, and Michael Young is still in third. The top American at this point is Philip Dutton, sitting in seventh place. And then we have Boyd Martin went, and is behind Philip Dutton. Actually, Boyd sitting in 16th place. We have Bruce Davidson is in 23rd place. And then Sinead Halpin and Kim Severson are tied for 30th place. So that's how we're sitting at this point. Somebody else that we follow on a regular basis, I'm trying to find her on the list here, of course, is Jessica Phoenix out of Canada. We've interviewed her many, many, many times, and she is now in 28th place. All of this is pending change because of what is to come, and that is cross-country. It is up tomorrow. They're hoping it dries out a little bit there. But we,
I'm real curious to see what Leslie has to say about the course.
Well,
she's there.
We did talk to her a little bit about it. And also Sam Watson from the Ireland team had something to say too. And let's take a listen to that.
This is Darlene Ricker. I'm here in Normandy with Sam Watson of the Irish Eventing team, who's going to speak with us about the course, the cross-country course.
So I suppose the first thing that springs to mind is we look at the course designer, Pierre Michelet. He is renowned for his combinations and his technicality and his angles and his corners. And he's stamped that on this course. So
he's what? Stamped out?
Yeah, he's put that into his course. You know, you can see it. It's all about the combinations. I think where he's been kind, and I think it's really paid off now that we've had all this rain, is that there are some genuine let-up fences in between. So it's not like your typical, you know, I did Kentucky, Wagon Kentucky 4 years ago, and that was just really big all the way around. This has some smaller fences, but the combinations are, some of them are beasts. Some of them are really, really tough.
That was Sam Watson, who's now sitting at 59th place after dressage. And then, as I said, we did have a chance to catch up with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation over there in France, covering the event for Eventing Nation. And she is at the eventing competition. She watched the first day of dressage, and then we talked to her right before the show this morning, so we were about halfway through the second day of dressage. And Leslie's been very animated in her coverage of what it's like over there. Apparently the French are doing pretty well at the events themselves, organizing and running the actual competition, not so well at handling the spectators, the transportation, the food, and everything else that goes along with it. Made me really appreciate how nice and easy it all was in Lexington. But let's take a listen to Jamie and I caught up with Leslie earlier in the day, and it's typical Leslie. Here we go.
Well, hey, Leslie, it's good to talk to you again. And we've been reading your reports. What a wild time you've been having in France.
Yes, bonjour from Normandy.
Look at her speaking all French now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Leslie, I guess the story of the last couple of days has been mud.
It's been, it just kept raining and raining, and the mud kept getting deeper and deeper. It is, and then the crowd came yesterday, and then it just, now it's kind of a mess. It's definitely a good day for muck boots.
Now, I've been watching Eventing Nation and Horse Nation religiously. Now, please tell me you are one of the people that brought dewberries as opposed to flip-flops.
Yeah, I wish. I brought dance clothes, so at least, you know, that's
the
kind
clogs?
Of...
The clogs?
Yeah, clogs.
Oh, no.
Oh, that sucks. Those get sucked off in mud, girl. Those get sucked off.
Well, but you know what? The sun came out today, and everyone's spirits seem brighter. And hopefully, if the sun keeps shining, it'll maybe dry out a little bit of this ground before cross country starts tomorrow.
Well, that's good. We hope that happens too, because it was certainly a muddy mess for endurance yesterday. What are you? You've been watching 2 days of dressage, so tell us, give us a report.
Oh man, it's just so much fun to see all the best riders in the world on their best horses going at it head to head. It just doesn't get any better than this. You know, all of the Americans have been super and really showed up as, you know, team players and. The Canadians, Holly Bennett had a fantastic test this morning. I think it was her second best test on Jenny ever, and she was just over the moon. And we've still got this afternoon from the North American contingent, we've still got Boyd Martin on Chamwari, who everyone is very excited to see. You know, this, we've not seen much of this pair. Together, and I think that they could really knock some socks off. And then also Selena O'Hanlon from Canada is one of the last pairs to go.
Now, you mentioned Canada. I'm sitting here actually watching Holly Bennett's ride on Gin and Juice. Did you see her ride? Because it looked fantastic.
It did. She, you know, I interviewed her in the press tent after her test, and she was just, you know, so thrilled. You know, Jenny can get, she can be a little hot, but she kept a lid on it today and just showed off. I think she, you know, she knew it was a big deal, I guess.
Do you think that there's an advantage to going first, or like on the first day or the second day, or is it more pressure on the second day, or are the judges more reactive on day one? What do you think?
I mean, they say that, you know, the second day, you know, typically the judges are a little bit gentler on the second day, but I don't know. I mean, it's just been fierce from start to finish here this weekend. We just had Josh Padgett and Clifton Promise come up, make a big entrance onto the scoreboard in second place.
Hey, can I say something about that? We've been following that story, you know, about him being suspended and all of that. He basically came in today and just gave the finger to everybody.
Oh, man. It's such a good story. You know, he's another one. I talked to him after his test, and he, you know, he just said he has stayed, you know, been able to really just keep his focus, deal with, you know, the case, that, you know, for listeners who may not know quite what was going on. He tested positive, or his horse Clifton Promise tested positive mysteriously for reserpine, which is like a sort of a long-term tranquilizer. And so he was drug tested. He won Burley. They took his title away from him, and he's had to go through all this this huge ordeal, you know, just to clear his name and you know, win his, you know, get his title back. And they finally found out that the reserpine, there was just traces of it in this supplement that he was using. It was not listed on the ingredients, and but
it was tainted.
He got cleared at the beginning of August, and, you know, I think he is out for blood.
Well, he's now currently sitting in second place behind William Fox Pitt, who, you know, just put it on chilly morning, just gives you goosebumps watching any piece of that test. Michael Young is in third on a horse that I've never heard of. Again, I don't follow German eventing all that much, but Fisher Rocana FST.
Yeah. I mean, he's in third place on his second string horse, the horse that he was supposed to take, Biscotech Sam, who came up with a soundness issue. And so this is his second string horse. It's a sporty little 9-year-old mare. It's a little horse. Can't wait to see her go tomorrow. And, you know, he is one of the best in the world. So we're all looking forward to that.
So rounding out the top 10, we've got William Fox Pitt in first, Jock Padgett in second, Michael Young in third, Ingrid Klimka in fourth place, Tim Price from New Zealand is in fifth, Elaine Penn in, from the Netherlands in sixth, and finally we get to Philip Dutton, USA, USA, Philip Dutton in seventh place. So we are super excited that we have an American in the top 10, and hopefully with Boyd riding a little later, we'll have another American in the top 10. So how does the cross-country course look? I, from what I understand, everybody's being really gentle, but it sounds like it's scary as hell.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's got the respect of, you know, the best riders, best event riders in the world are here, and it has got their attention. It's forward riding, it's technical. I've never seen so many skinnies and angled giant brushes in my life. But you know, there's a great sort of a variety of experience levels here, you know, ranging from, you know, I've seen, there was one horse, that did its test yesterday. It's only done 1 3-star in its life. And, and then there's other pairs that, you know, are veteran partnerships that have been at the 4-star level for years. So, you know, the course designer, Pierre Michelin has, I had a kind of a tough job cut out for him in designing a course that, you know, that people that would be safe for, you know, that has options. There are lots of options, so less experienced pairs can just, you know, they just want to get around, you know, can be smart and just take the time penalties and come home safe and sound. And then, but, you know, if you know, you're out to in it to win it, then and you've got to take those direct options, it is, those are tough. and plus it is hilly, it is windy. There's a great big hill right around minute marker 9 that, you know, I think there's going to be some horses huffing and puffing coming through the finish flag.
Well, we know that you have to get back to watching the tests, so we'll let you go. I just have one other thing to talk to you about. I posted your picture this morning on our Horses of the Morning Facebook page. Do the French think that foreigners aren't very hungry?
Yeah, seriously.
What the hell's up with the long line for the food that must have been 10 miles long?
Are there really two vendors? There's only two food vendors for, like, the 100,000 people coming?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that they're doing this. This World Games in general has had some logistical hiccups.
you're being nice.
you know, ranging from the shuttle service has just been kind of hit or miss to you know, just the layout of things to organization Yeah, yesterday there were only two food vendors here, so I'm hoping that more will show up by tomorrow. I think they're expecting 50,000 people. So, if anyone's interested, is heading this way tomorrow, I am posting a survival guide at some point this afternoon on Eventing Nation with some tips for practical tips for not starving to death.
Yeah, it literally looks like you're standing in ankle deep mud waiting in line. Like, that's what people are doing. I can't imagine. You must be starving. You must be, I don't know, tired of the mud in your ears. So we do thank you for joining us, and you'll have to wipe off your phone at this point because it looks like it's terrible.
From what I've seen, though, the one thing that Leslie hasn't been short on is alcohol. Apparently,
yeah,
there's
seriously
been a lot of that.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Thank you, Leslie. Have fun.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.
Well, she was a trooper to try and get that done. She was standing outside in the mud talking to us, actually. And I do have a quick question. We don't have much time here. But, Jamie, for those that don't know, and we hear this term all the time for the non-eventers out there, when they say the cross-country course is going to be technical, what do they mean?
You know, there's two ways to kind of look at cross-country. Either they're big, straightforward, gallopy-type fences, or more technical would be, you come up to your next question, they call them, and you've got an A, a B, and a C, and you really have to slow down to navigate the different twists and turns. When she said there's some skinnies with angled lines to, another skinny, basically you've got a very narrow jump that you're jumping, and then you've got to make a turn and jump another one, and usually a right to left turn and make another one. So that's kind of what it means by being very technical. Instead of just one or two jumps that you just gallop and jump, remember how, like, in Lexington, the sunken road, you jump a jump, you go down into the road, you jump out of the road, and then you jump another one? That's kind of more a gallopy thing, but it's technical, but it's more kind of a galloping line as opposed to having to really kind of slow down and kind of navigate through one whole question. That makes sense?
Very, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you for that. Well, we have our guest on the line. We're going to get to her in just a second and find out about the accidental Appaloosa right after we hear from Kentucky Performance Products. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Managing horses can be challenging. Each horse's personality affects the way he behaves and reacts to the world around him. Horses with certain dispositions can be at higher risk for developing health problems than others. High-strung or excitable horses are easily stressed, but so is the timid, quiet warrior. Stressed horses are more likely to develop digestive upsets that lead to colic, diarrhea, and ulcers. Nalox Advanced was specifically developed to support a digestive tract that is under stress. It sustains proper pH levels, reducing the incidence of ulcers and hindgut imbalances, while simultaneously supporting the healing of damaged tissues. Nalox Advanced supports the complete digestion of starches and sugars and sustains populations of beneficial bacteria. Make life a little easier on your sensitive horse and start him on Nalox Advanced today. To learn more about the ingredients in Nalox Advanced, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
And, of course, we thank Kentucky Performance Products for being our title sponsor every Friday. But we've got a guest on the line who kind of she's kind of setting a precedent right now and rocking the dressage world, if you will. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing great. I'm talking with Shannon Dahmer, who basically I think that people are calling it the accidental Appaloosa.
Yes, they are, because he is not your typical upper-level dressage horse that you would expect that would be getting such scores at the FEI level.
Yeah, I didn't see any Appaloosas at WEG. I've been watching, and I just haven't seen any.
There was a Friesian. I saw a Friesian at WEG, so,
That's not an Appaloosa. So,
no,
we're going to talk a little bit.
No, that's not Appaloosa, yeah.
What you are riding is you are a Grand Prix FEI level dressage rider, and you found a partner to take you up through the levels that is a little different. Tell us about your horse.
Well, he belongs to a lady named Jan Wingate, and she's a little bit older, and she always had a preference for Appaloosas. While ago, she had another Appaloosa that got trained to Grand Prix dressage, and it's just kind of been her preference on the type of horse she likes. And she brought him to me and just had me. She's like, could you just ride him a couple days a week and get him fit, because he had been hanging out in the pasture. And I'm like, sure, you know, he's kind of fun, he's cute. And personally, I'd never ridden an Appaloosa before, so I was like, yeah, he's cute, and, you know, he tries really hard. And so then she started to increase the train, you know, she's like, oh, maybe, you know, ride him like 3 days a week. And I'm like, okay. And she showed him training in first level, like when he was younger, probably like 5 or 6. And then last September, so this has been a year ago, she showed him first level at our championship. Just she showed an open show at championships, and then she's like, I'm going on vacation, just ride him full time, and, you know, I'm going to be gone 3 weeks, whatever. And I said, well, you know, he's pretty balanced in the counter canter, I think I want to try changes on him. She's like, whatever, he's yours, do whatever. So she went away for 3 weeks. She came back, and he was doing 4 tempies, which starts basically at fourth level, but pre-St. George, you start riding 4 tempies. So she was like, what do you mean? I thought you were going to just start the changes. I'm like, I don't know. He thinks this is great. And so he just picked it up, and then we just really haven't looked back. So basically in a year, he went from riding first level dressage, and I told Jana, I was like, I think I want to take him out of pre-St. George. And she's like, okay. And so I took him to California and showed him at the big dressage shows out there. And you know what? He held his own, and everyone's like, really? And everyone's looking at me like, what are you doing on an Appaloosa? Like, she's so cute. And he wins everybody's heart over. Everyone just is like, he's the coolest horse. And then I was like, you know, I'd kind of like to try I-1. And she's like, okay. And, you know, boom, we rode Pre-St. George and I won this summer, and he qualified for regionals and our local RMBS championships, and here we are. So
now, you talk an Appaloosa. Now, oh, first of all, this story is absolutely incredible. What an absolute talent for dressage, and how lucky he was to kind of fall into your lap. And Janet was very lucky to have you, the one to bring your horse along. Tell everybody a little bit about how he was created. I mean, this is obviously I-1 Pre-St. George horse is the culmination of years of studying bloodlines and making sure that the right horse goes to the right stallion. I'm sure that's what happened here.
Not exactly. So Jan bought him in Brighton, College. She got him in Brighton, Colorado. And the mare, the story is, the mare got out, she was bred, and when the person that Jan bought, you know, bought Lakota from, acquired the mare, didn't even know the mare was pregnant. And so, mm-hmm. and so the mother is an Appaloosa, but she got out and got bred by a Percheron. So he's Appaloosa Percheron. I don't even think he's registered with, I don't even think he's registered Appaloosa.
Yeah, where would you put him?
He's just like, and so they were like, well, we just wanted this mare. So we need, you know, we don't want a foal. So they ended up selling Jan Lakota when he was 3 years old. And so it was like, it's, you know, and it typically, like in Appaloosa, they, their tails aren't really thick and, you know, but he has this amazing, everyone's like, oh my gosh, where'd he get that tail? And we're like, we think that's a Percheron. Like, dressage people love, you know, you want the big, thick, long, you know, huge tail. And that's not a typical, that's not a typical characteristic that Appaloosas like have this incredible tail. So that's like the first question everyone's kind of like, judges, I'll be going around, they're like, oh my God, he's so cute, is he all Appaloosa? Like, they, you know, everyone asks questions about him before my test, after my test, because he just, you know, he tries so hard, and I think he know, like, he's like, yeah, a few warm bloods, you know, I'm not typical, but, you know, I'm doing my job, and I'm doing it correctly, and he kind of, like, he wears that when we go out there, like, he knows this is not particularly supposed to be getting, you know, high scores at the FEI level, like 71. I mean, pretty, like, I would be happy on my warm blood to get a 71 at Pre-St. George or a 68 or a, you know, 67. Like, I'm like, okay, I'd be happy with that. And then he's been able to get those scores. And I think he kind of knows, like, he just has this attitude, like, watch me. So he's very cute.
So, dressage is obviously a very subjective sport. And have you had any of the moments where you think probably you should have had a better score? You come out of a test and it was amazing and you get a lower score, maybe because he is a spotted. I mean, he's basically the spotted version of a Pinto. He's not even an Appaloosa. He's like,
I know.
It's weird. So have you had a
it
moment
is
where
weird.
You, like, have you had
he's
a moment where you think he's a Percheloosa?
He's
a Percheloosa. That's a new breed. We should, yeah, Percheloosa.
Or
like
would
that.
It be an aperture? It's too hard to say. Let's go with Percheloosa. Yeah.
I like Percheloosa. I think
that's a new breed.
We could have like a new Percheloosa logo. you know, I, you know, the big test because. I took him out to California, so I was like, you know what, it doesn't even matter. He's never even, you know, it's his first time at Pre-St. George. I don't even care. I just want to break a 60. You know, that was kind of my, like, just go in and get through the test, and, you know, I'm sure he'll get stronger throughout the year, whatever. But, I mean, I think his lowest score in California was, like, a 63 from the Dutch judge. And we had, you know, mistakes and changes.
Didn't have any clue that it was even a horse. The Dutch judge was going,
the Dutch judge.
That's a horse.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then he wrote on the bottom of my test, he's like, pity about the mistakes. I'm like, the judge wanted to give me a higher score on the absolute side. I can't believe it. So it was cute because he just went out there and, you know, rocked his spots, I guess you could say. So, and so that was kind of the big test. Because, you know, here in Colorado, you see more, you know, quarter horses and paints and, you know, buckskins.
Yeah.
And there's more of those type of horses being shown. He was the only Appaloosa on the showground. So,
Let me ask you whatever, but he's the only Appaloosa / Percholoosa in California. Let's be honest. I mean, they just don't have those
I mean, people were like other competitors were like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, I was all, you know, in my shad belly, and I think they thought, like, did you just bring him as, like, a companion horse to, you know, keep your other horses?
Aww.
I'm like, oh, no, he's riding Prince St. George. And they're like, really? And then they're like, oh, my gosh, he's so cute. So it was fun to see because typically, you know, you just don't see that. And it's kind of fun to take the non-traditional horse, and it's, you know, that doesn't have these huge, fancy gates. And he just goes out, does his job, does it correctly. You know, I ride him in a snaffle at Prix St. George, and I won because he's just good. And, you know, we weren't planning on doing
As a matter of fact, that's right. I'm looking at your picture, and you got a single bridle. You don't even have a double bridle there.
No. So, it, you know, like there was not really a – it's like, hey, let's just go show him Prix St. George, whatever. We don't care. We just want to do the best we can do, not – looking at, you know, Stephen Peters over there, or Kathleen Wayne, or, you know, or John Abling.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, we'll just stay focused in our warm-up and not see the horses floating around in front of us. So, you know, he did so good, and then he's just gotten stronger. And, I mean, he picks stuff up like, I mean, he's going to, I mean, I would be surprised if he doesn't show Grand Prix in the next
wow.
year or two.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome.
So
I was going to say, what is the future hold for you guys before we let you go?
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, we're working on half steps and passage right now. And before we left California, I ride with Kathleen Lane. We had started just playing with the ones because there was a big gap between shows. And he already, she's like, okay, we'll just try 1-1. And so we were playing with it, and I think we ended up getting like 5 or 6. Like, he is
so, that's awesome.
He's such a fast learner. And then he thinks he's really cool. So that combined, he thinks he's pretty hot stuff. So he's like, ooh, look
well,
what I just did. And then you praise him, and then he's like, oh, I'll give you more. So it's really
now,
cute.
Does Lakota have his own Facebook page? If he doesn't, he needs one because we want to follow him.
Somebody asked Jan that the other day. They're like, does he have his own Facebook page? I'm like, Jan, you better get on that. And so she was laughing. She just actually told me that the other day. So we'll have to get Lakota's own Facebook page.
Yep.
It's time.
Yeah.
I know. And then I also wanted to say there's another cool spotted horse I ride, Comanche, who's a Georgian Grand, and he's doing 3rd and 4th level, and so you guys have to look for him too because he's got big spots like a Pinto, but he's trained in Saddlebred and Clydesdale.
Oh my god!
You do like
so
those
these are non-typical horses are kind of starting to like make a little bit of a stand, so it's kind of fun.
That's
you guys
awesome.
He doesn't have to watch for him. He's cool, too.
Saddlebred Frisian, whatever. I don't even know.
Clydesdale.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, Shannon Dahlmer, we've run out of time, but it has been awesome talking to you. I cannot wait to follow along with you, and let's get Lakota and Comanche, which are, by the way, very dressage-y names. Comanche.
Very appropriate.
Facebook pages, because I want to follow these guys along, and we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll talk to you as soon as you do your first Grand Prix.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Keep us posted.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, Shannon.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
I want to friend her on Facebook.
I know. She's so cute.
I need to see these horses. I need to see pictures.
She's breaking the mold. Somebody has to break the mold. She is breaking stereotypes everywhere. Look at that.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing.
No bigotry in Colorado at her barn.
No.
I like that Perchalusa, though. That's pretty good. I like that.
I like, right, what would you call the other one? We'll have to think about a name for the Clydesdale Friesian saddlebred.
I did Perchalusa. I tried to do it the other way, an Apercheron, but it was too hard to say. So an Apercheron.
Aperon.
An
that
Aperon.
Sounds like a character from the Marvel Universe. Aperon.
Yes, it's an Aperon. Comes from some planet we never heard of. All right, let's take a break. We're coming back with Karen Chatton. She's going to be calling in here in a minute to talk to us about the wild times at Endurance yesterday and what exactly happened. We lost a horse and a whole ton of them. 80% of them were out of the race. So we'll find out from her in a minute. But next, we are coming to Collections Product of the Week. And then our song today is Settle Down, Cinderella. Hi, Glenn here, back with you, and I have Debbie with Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Hi, Glenn. This week, I want to remind everybody in horses is familiar with joint supplements for their horses, but I am going to tell you about a product that we sell that is actually for people. It is the Cosamin ASU supplement, and the reason I feel so comfortable talking about this is I use it, and I had some pretty major reasons to use it lately, and I have also recommended it to two other friends who have used it, and they love it, and it was referred to me by my vet whose husband uses it. So I feel real comfortable that this is a joint supplement over and above any of the over-the-counter glucosamines that you can buy at your grocery store. This also has MSM in it, which horse people are familiar with, which not all the joint supplements in the world have that. It's a little bit expensive, but I'm telling you, it works so well that I feel like it's worth the extra money for this Cosamin ASU supplement. It's made by the same folks you get Cosequin from, only this one is for humans. So take a look at that at www.equestriancollections.com.
And I can tell you that my wife uses it. She has worn a knee brace for 20 years. She started using Cosamin ASU about 2 years ago after trying many, many others, and no knee brace anymore, and she religiously takes one every day.
This is the fourth, then, recommendation that I've had from people who actually need it. And you don't have to just take one. There's a buildup. You can take two in the morning and two at night if you really need it, and then ratchet it down a bit. It's absolutely the best thing and that I have found for joint pain in humans.
All right, very good. You can find that at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Cosamin, Cosamin ASU. You'll find that just by doing the search.
Take you away, yeah, settle down.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. We've been having a lot of fun. We talked about the World Equestrian Games earlier, and I want to give you a quick update before we head over to Karen Chatton, who is the host of our Endurance Day here on Horses in the Morning once a month to talk about the endurance competition yesterday. But I have breaking news out of freestyle dressage, and that is Laura Graves of the United States riding, I'm not sure how they say that horse, Verdades or Verdades. Anyway, she just took first place. She's leading now with a score of 82. So she is, yes. So congratulations to Laura. Now, we still have some good riders to come. Charlotte D. Darzin and Adeline Cornelissen is yet to come from the Netherlands. So we have some good riders yet to come, but Laura looks like she's put herself in a place where she might take a medal. So let's hope so. We need something out of dressage here. Well, we talked about endurance earlier in the show about how wild it was yesterday with only 22% of the riders finishing. Sheikh Mohammed won the race. There was a horse that was killed after running into a tree, and apparently the conditions were awful. So we got Karen Chatton on here to help us understand what happened yesterday, Karen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You got a baby in the background?
sorry about that.
Oh, that was your baby. Yeah, I thought Karen had a baby. I was waiting.
It's not mine. Good morning. Yes, it sounded like the course really was muddy and treacherous and very, very difficult for the completion rate to get that, you know, low is really bad and really an unfortunate day for our team. You know, we sent a team of five over with one alternate. One of the main team members, Meg Sleeper's horse, didn't pass the vet in, so the alternate was able to take her place. And in a strange twist of irony, the only one of the entire team that finished was the alternate.
That was Jeremy Olson, right? Jeremy Olson?
Yes, on Wallace Hill Shade, who is an Arab and Tennessee Walker cross.
Oh, really? We're hearing all about crosses here this morning on this show. It's been a day of crosses. I know. Now, tell me, you know, I watched a little bit of it yesterday on the FEI feed, and they were in lap two at that point, and the mud was incredible. And one of the things I saw as dangerous, but maybe you can confirm it, having never ridden an endurance race, is when you came out of those muddy, boggy fields, they were actually going onto pavement, onto roads. So you came from slick mud onto a road. That has to be dangerous.
Yes, it's hard on the horses, too. You know, it really stresses things, and I'm sure that no doubt contributed to the high pull rate. But it's it's really hard on the horses, especially when they're going at any kind of speed like they were, you know, even though they said the times were a little slower than some of the previous races, they were still, you know, quite fast given the conditions, and it takes its toll on the horses, as was shown by the, you know, 22% completion rate.
What's
even
normal,
Tevis this year,
Aaron?
Was, you yes. know, close to triple that, or close to 58-60%.
Okay. And now Sheikh Mohammed won, and I watched when in lap two there. I was surprised. So lap two was probably, 30 miles into the race, 20, 30 miles. And he was booking. I mean, they were cantering the whole time I watched, and I was just amazed at how fast they were going with, 60 miles left to go.
Uh-huh. Well, they train for it. You know, the horses are definitely trained and prepared for what they ask of them, and it's amazing, you know, at that level that they're able to do what they do. From what everybody said, his horse looked really good.
And he finished in 8 hours, 8 minutes. Okay, Jamie, think about that, 100 miles in 8 hours and 8 minutes.
That's improbable.
Yes.
In the mud.
In the mud. His average speed was 20 miles an hour. That's just incredible.
That's really
20
fast.
20 kilometers, I think.
Yeah, you're right, 20 kilometers an hour. Yep, you're right. Which would be about, 12, 13 miles an hour. Still pretty good.
Yeah. It is, especially for those conditions.
Is it bad if I bring up the question on how this horse possibly ran into a tree and lost its life? Like, that seems crazy to me. There must be more to the story. Did a tree fall on it? I mean, how did this happen?
It sounds like an awful tragedy. It sounded like they made a sharp turn, and obviously they didn't make the turn quite right, because it sounds like the horse didn't slip. It just simply ran into the tree, and the only fortunate thing to come out of, you know, this horrific thing is that the horse did die instantly, and the rider is pretty badly injured. From what I read online, she had two collapsed lungs and a liver and couple broken bones, and she had to go into surgery, and it sounded pretty serious. So hopefully she will be okay. I believe that was the Costa Rican rider.
Yes. Yeah, that's
and
right.
Another
yeah.
rider broke a leg, broke their femur. The defending world champion also was came
Spanish
off her
girl.
Horse, I believe, more than once, and was brought to the hospital.
It was a wild day. Have you ever ridden in a ride that was 22% completion rate?
Maybe not that low. Probably the lowest would be Tevis, where I think one year when I finished it, it was like a 43% completion rate. But it's a little bit different, you know, it's a whole different venue, really, than this FBI level stuff. Boy. But I have done some pretty gnarly rides in the mud, and you know, it is a real difficult thing to do, you know, because of, you know, it doesn't take much for a horse to take a wrong step or to slip, and like obviously did happen, and some riders got hurt. And I have read, though, that all of the U.S. horses are doing well. It sounds like they're doing better than the riders, who are probably pretty bummed.
For folks who are maybe less familiar with endurance riding, when we associate a horse being pulled at one of the vet checks, which there are several of in endurance races, it's not necessarily because the horse is three-legged lame. This can be a very subtle thing in that the horse is like, okay, he is one tick over, too stressed, he's done. It's pretty tight criteria, isn't it?
Exactly, and it's there to protect the horses. They're very strict on their vetting. They have to meet a lot of criteria, like a certain heart rate. They do CRIs where they check the heart rate, trot the horse, recheck the heart rate, and make sure that it hasn't gone back up. You know, they're checking for hydration, gut sounds, all sorts of things. And if any of those things don't look right, many of the vet checks, they had to check on and do an exit exam after their hold was over to make sure the horse was still doing okay, even if the horse had passed the vet check. when it first went in, it still had to pass again in order to leave.
Well, we're going to have to let you go here. And your show is coming up in a couple of weeks. I hope you can get one of the writers on. We had Heather Reynolds on your last episode here on Horses in the Morning, who won the Tevis. I mean, she's an experienced rider with an experienced horse. She won the Tevis and went over there, and she was out in lap two, in loop two. So.
Right. And Jeremy, your husband, was on the month before.
I know. I hope you can get one of them back on the next episode, and we can talk to them about what it was like in France. I hope they had more food for the endurance riders than they've had for the eventers, because apparently that's been an issue, too. So we'll talk to them. Thank you so much, Karen, for getting up early to come on and chat with us about this. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Anytime.
All right.
Thanks,
Karen.
Bye.
Wow. Well, you always expect some fun when you have a World Equestrian Games.
The tragedy in endurance is what is just really rocking my brain right now. I'm having a hard time wrapping around the fact that they ran into a tree. There's got to be what she said, she made a turn.
Slippery.
I guess. Is that what we're thinking? Because nowhere did it.
Well, and
it
wasn't a forest. It wasn't a forest section of the course. And in those forest sections of the course, as I understand it, it was only one track, which means one lane wide. So they were very narrow. So it wouldn't be hard to hit a tree.
Man.
You know, riders are all the time scraping their legs and arms on the trees because it's that narrow in some sections.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It makes you want to take up endurance, Jamie.
Yeah, boy. I mean, like, eventing is not dangerous enough. Let's add just the horses trotting around. My God, it just sounds terrible.
You're not that close to the trees, though.
I know. Well, you skim right over them.
Yeah, you're going over them. Hopefully, that's the goal. All right. Well, our sympathies out to the family there of the injured riders, and our thoughts are with them. Let's get to something a little less tragic. Well, we hope.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, everybody's favorite time of the week. And it's ours, especially this week, because it's a three-day weekend. And just to remind everybody, we will not have a show on Monday. It's a holiday here, Labor Day in the United States, which means everybody doesn't work. So we thought we would continue that tradition and not work as well. And we'll be back here on Tuesday with Jumping Day, and then Jamie will be back on Wednesday of next week.
No, aren't I doing Tuesday?
Are you going to do Tuesday? Do I get an extra day off?
I thought you told me I was doing Tuesday, the jumper show.
Well, you never confirmed, so I thought you didn't. But I'll be glad to take an additional day off if you, sure, no problem. Jamie's going to be here on Tuesday. And then I might come back on Wednesday, depending how I feel. So there we go. Thank you, Jamie. You just made my day, actually, by the way.
Yeah.
Jennifer, what is the prize for today's Really Bad Ad contestants?
Prizes for this week's Really Bad Ads provided by Rider's Sleeves. Rider's Sleeves are the perfect accessory for the outdoor athlete. These sleeves are the ultimate UV protector and contain a special moisture-radiating material that keeps you cool in hot weather conditions. The antimicrobial fabric won't hold on to odors, and the three-dimensional seamless weave is a super stretchy product that is super comfortable. Rider's sleeves come in four colors, black, white, pink, and sky blue, so you'll look as cool as you feel. You can find Rider's sleeves at local tack stores, or you can visit them online at Rider's Sleeves, both plural, riderssleeves.com.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you to Rider Sleeves for donating the prizes for this week. Well, I have a couple of short ones to start here today, really bad ads. And remember, the names that we're giving you are the names of the people that submitted the ads, not the names of the people that wrote them. There are wonderful listeners. Amy sent in the first one. One large steel cage, 7 foot six by 7 foot six by 8 foot, seven foot by 7 foot by 8 inches high. That's one long, narrow cage. That's what I said. $150 oh, that's right down the street here. And this is what it says. Cage is one solid square in the inside, a lot of open space. $150. It's one solid square with a lot of open space on the inside. Yep, that's usually what a cage is. I think they got the inches high wrong, and it's probably 8 feet high. What would you put in that cage, a bear?
That's where you trap gophers.
in an eight-foot square cage.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Come here, kitty, 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 kitty.
It's in a lion in that cage. The next one is from Jody. Jody Hawk sent in this one. Paint trail horse. Black and white paint mare. Very flashily and beautiful. Good on trails. 15 hands. Has new collegians and shots. Call Bob. Collegians.
Sounds like a sneaker, doesn't it?
A brand new collegians.
Google collegians, Glenn, while I read this next one.
Collegian is.
Stacy Brown sent in this one, and this is awesome. I feel like I need to go. $30 a week horse boarding, $120. Hi. I live on a 10-acre property on O'Connor Way that is not being used to its full potential. Here is what I offer. What it should say is, here is what I don't offer. Sorry, no wash pens. We do have a hose you can use.
Well, that's right.
Thanks. Approximately 9 acres to ride around on. And, yes, there are squirrel holes galore. And, no, I will not fill them or set squirrel traps because that would not be fair to the hawks and the snakes. The property.
We don't want to starve the
property. Yeah. No water for them to drink, no food. We're going to break their legs. The property is secured by T-post and barbed wire, so your horse would need to be used to that. Place to store horse trailer on site for $10 extra a week and covered barn to store your feed.
Oh my God. This sounds
like a great place to board your horse. Send your children. They'll never come back.
I wonder what state was in. Oh, my God.
Well, the O'Connors was there. It's O'Connor Way. Karen and David O'Connor's house is on that road. It's O'Connor Way. Clearly.
Yeah, I'm sure it's their place. They have lots of barbed wire at their farm.
Yeah, and rabbit holes or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a caring person. Really doesn't want, you know, really takes care of the wildlife in the neighborhood. Doesn't want to deprive the hawks and the snakes. And do you know what this ad means? This ad means they had a different ad about 3 weeks ago. And 25 people came out to look at the place. And this was all the stuff they bitched about. And so he had to rewrite the ad. Yeah, that's exactly what that means. By the way, the collegians Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, we don't have anything safe for your horse, so come on out and board. And you can charge you extra for bringing your trailer.
By the way, the collegians were an American 1950s doo-wop group from New York City. So
That's awesome. Oh, great.
All right, Robin sent in the next one. Oh, wait a minute, I can't read this. I'm boycotting Robin, so you'll have to do it.
Oh, you want me to take it? Why are you boycotting Robin, Glenn? I don't understand.
I'm boycotting Robin because of a certain sound file that she donated to the show on Wednesday. My little pony.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah. Keep that forever. Free horse manure for gardens will provide shovels. This sounds like a genius at work again. I would like to offer the same thing. Get a unique workout.
bring kids for a pony ride when they're done. When they're done. Get your kids a unique workout, is what I should say. Dry, easy to shovel, great for organic gardeners. About 2 hours work for one shoveler, 1 hour for two shovelers, 4 hours if shoveler has cell phone. Is that the truth? You know,
that's very funny.
I hire a teenager to come out here and clean my pasture since I've had the baby because I just can't get to it. And I swear to, I pay her $10 an hour, and I need to tell her I'm taking her cell phone because I'm like, I'm paying you $10 an hour, and I look out there and you're Facebooking in the pasture. Seriously, the fork resting on her hip. So I get it, person who's sending this. 4 hours if shoveler has cell phone and is working by the hour.
You know, that one was very funny. It's too bad Robin has never qualified to win a prize again. So go ahead.
I think that she did fantastic. I mean, what?
My little pony.
Doesn't that just make you smile? It sure does. I love it. Angela sent in the next one, and I would let you read this one, but it has no punctuation. Would you like it?
No, you can have it.
Okay, thanks. Gru broke Philly. Burlington,
Gru?
West Virginia. G-R-E-W, period. Gru broke Philly. Burlington, this is in West Virginia, so I don't know if we have many listeners from West Virginia because I don't think there's internet up there. I've been through West Virginia a whole bunch and just a bunch of hills with trailers. So if you live in West Virginia and you have internet, you should send me an email, call me, give us a call on the show, let us know that you're out there. Okay, this is the epitome of a West Virginia ad. I guess somebody has internet.
You should do this. They speak with a southern accent there, you know.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. They do, Glenn. Yeah. All right, here we go. I have a one-year-old Mustang mix with an Appaloosa Green broke Philly. She walks, trot, canters. She needs a little more work. She's only been loaded into a trailer once. She's a great horse and great bloodline. She's about 14 hands high or more. I don't have her Coggins paper, but since she grew a hand, she'll need another Coggins. She has no bad half, bitch. She is all-around great horse. She gets along with any other horse, period, period, period.
I like that she doesn't have her Coggins, but since she grew a hand, she'll need another Coggins. That's the test, is how much they grow.
Since when did Coggins become the end-all, be-all for age and bloodlines? Like, I could write whatever the hell I want on him. This horse is 4 years old. It could be 27 years old. The vet just goes, write down what you say. You know, it's not papers. It ain't papers. It's just Coggins.
Oh, the next one was sent in by Ellen. Thank you, Angela, for the last one. That was funny. by the way, the reading was great. I love the southern accent. Ellen sent in the next one. Oh, our trailer of the month. Oh, okay, let me read it. Old horse or goat trailer. $350. Oh, it's right on our price. $350. Single axle trailer. Pulls better than it looks. Dry inside. Well, there you go. That's things. By the way, it looks like the one wheel is completely missing, by the way. It's sitting on its fender, and it's a typical two-horse rounded front trailer. It has all its windows, I might add. But it looks like it was painted white about 35, 40 years ago, and it since has lost kind of its sheen. It doesn't have a sheen anymore. The sides of the trailers are made of wood. You know, usually the floor is wood, but the sides of the trailers are wood and held together by some sort of rusted metal contraption. I'm not sure what that is. One tire has air. The other one doesn't even have a tire. So I don't know exactly how you're going to haul it out. That's going to be difficult.
Now, you said it has all its windows. It's actually fully enclosed, Glenn, because it used to have stock sides, and they just nailed a bunch of plywood on the sides to close it in. And you did mention that it is a very fancy ramp trailer. It is a ramp.
Yes, it is.
So it looks like that drops down, and it's a piece of plywood that if your horse stepped on, their foot is going straight through.
You know what I was more looking at instead of the trailer was the really cool old fire truck that's in the back there. I wonder if they'll sell that for $350. That'd be fun.
I don't see it. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure for $350. And there's also in the same place as the fantastic $350 old horse trailer. You can't put a young horse in this trailer, just an old horse. You can find parts to a chain link fence. There seems to be lots of pieces of metal and or wood scattered about that you could also probably find and buy. Empty trailer bag. This is a junkyard.
I think somebody dropped the trailer off and they went, what are we going to do with this thing? We'll sell it to some sucker for $350. Anything
old
will
horses
sell
only.
On Craigslist.
Old horses only.
Oh, and or goats, by the way. You can put your goats in there. Andrea sent the following one in. Wanted, oh, look, we should get these two together. Wanted horse trailer, two horse, three slant for $1. Well, look, Jennifer, you should be playing matchmaker here. I'm looking for a two horse or three horse, got to be bumper pull, but I'm looking for someone who would be interested in financing it, and it ain't got to be fancy, and I would be willing to leave it with you. I would use only during the day. I can put money down. I'm going to park my horse trailer at your house, and I'll only use it during the day, I promise. I'll bring it back.
So I'm not going to – I'm going to make payments. I'm going to pay you $20 for the $300 trailer, $20 a week, and I promise I'll bring it back. I promise.
Every night I'll bring it back. You can babysit it at night. I'll take care of it during the day.
That is crazy. It ain't, and any time you've got ain't – in an ad, you know it's good. You know it's good. It ain't got to be fancy. Yeah. Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
Get those two together. We got one that you don't even have to, like, leave there and make payments on. You can take it home with you if you put a tire on it.
Well, they only want to spend $1, so it's kind of out of their price range at $350.
All right,
Ruth sent in the next one, and this ad, I did pre-read it, because it's kind of, it's really bad, but it's also very sad for the horse, because it's this poor horse. Okay. Looking for whiskey or swagger, Paso Fino. I know this is a long shot, but I sold this Paso Fino a couple years ago, and his name was Swagger, but could easily be something else by now. I sold him to a lady, I think from Lexington. I live in Moxville. I sold him for $250 to her. I cannot find her contact info anymore. He is a gelding, sooty buckskin, but is chocolate color in the winter. He's only 13 hands tall and is very skittish. He's also a really bad cribber, but he is a classic Paso when it comes to riding, though, and is awesome trail horse, and I had started him on barrels. He rides in Hackmar. He is very flighty on the ground and has a tendency to pack his food in one side of his mouth. Poor animal. He's about 10 years old. I can only find pics of him from when I first got him, and we'll try to find more soon. I just really want to know if he's okay. I've thought about this horse often and often wondered if he was still okay. Please, if you have any info on him, let me know. Thanks. I think I may have seen him on here for sale once for $1,000 and had a picture with a sombrero on his head, but I'm not sure. Poor creature. Oh,
poor
my
woman.
Gosh.
You know
what
how we talk
disaster.
About whether an ad's a male or female? This one's pretty clear. You have to agree that this is a woman. No man would write this ad.
No. This is, but this poor buckskin, Paso Fino, scared of everybody. He's got some sort of mouth ailment where he can't chew his food correctly, and they're throwing a sombrero on his head and selling him every 3 months. Poor little thing.
That's funny. All right, let's go on to the next one. Byron sent this one in. Quarter horse gelding started $300. Reduced for quick sale $300. Well built, agile, athletic, sure footed. Gelding, cutting bred, 4 year old, 14.3 hands. Oh, a current Coggins until he grows some more. Was registered at one time. Was broke at one time. You must pick up.
That means you must catch.
That's funny. It sounded great till we got to it. Was registered at one time, which means I sold another horse and used these papers, and was broke at one time means never was broke at all. So that's what that
never.
Means.
Never. Chelsea sent in the next. I love it. It's agile,
sure-footed, that means we chase this thing around everywhere and it keeps escaping us. It's cutting bread. That means it dodges and weaves. It's Jeez. Jumped out of the car. It's amazing. Quiet horse. So it's a different horse. A quiet horse for $5,000 in Houston. Okay, the ad is, the title is Quiet Horse. And let me read you in all capital letters the first line of this ad. Not suitable for beginners. Quiet Horse, not suitable for beginners, all caps. Jewel is a 12-euro, 15.7-hand quiet and ain't
Whoa!
Much trouble.
That's a big one, 15.7-hand.
15.7-hands and ain't much trouble. That's another ain't. That's two today. Only rides slash responds Western. Rideable walk trot, but canter needs work. She will crow hop into gates, so beware.
Nothing dangerous about that.
What's quiet about this horse? Never bitten before. Never bitten before, but can be barn slash herd sour. Don't ride on trails. Needs rider with quiet hands. Absolutely no whips or spurs. I do not offer test rides.
What?
You must pick up. And must be open to trades, trained for well-trained thoroughbred or quarter horse. What?
So
what is the selling point?
I don't know. We have, and she wants $5,000 for this horse. Oh, my God. The horse is barn sour. It can't canter. It crow hops and will dump you on your butt. You can't take it out on trail. What can you do with it, by the way?
Well, Glenn, it's never bitten anybody, so there, you've got
that. That makes it worth at least, that adds to the price. That's, you know, I could see where they get the $5,000 now for this horse.
But she's quiet and ain't much trouble, except for when you ride her. Bless her little heart.
And she's 15.7 hands. Let's not forget that. And her name
she's
is
so
Jewel.
Bad.
Isn't that perfect?
Yeah. There's so much. That's a really bad ad, Chelsea. That's a really
yeah,
bad
Chelsea,
ad.
Yeah, Chelsea, you're in the contention here for sure. Beth sent the following one in. I am looking for a Great Dane. I prefer a male. I prefer a young house-trained one. I want a big one or one that is going to be big. I can't pay $600 plus for one, but I am willing to trade. For trade, I have guinea pig that is sweet. We're going to trade a guinea pig for your great big $600 Great Dane. Oh, sorry. For trade, I have a guinea pig that is sweet, adorable, and pretty colored. I also have a one-year-old Tennessee walking horse. There we go.
OMG. Okay, I'm looking for the Great Danes are like $1,200. I want a big house-trained male Great Dane. I will trade you a $5 guinea pig.
But it's pretty and adorable.
It's really pretty colored.
Oh, that's and if that's true. Not enough, I'll throw in the walking horse. The untrained one-year-old walking horse that's never been caught or had a halter on it.
You can just put it in the pasture and stare at it for the next 2 years, okay? Benny sent this one in. Then he sent this one, the last one. 4-year-old barrel horse for sale, $3,500 in Lake Park. 4-year-old pink gelding, he's by Chips Hot Chocolate. Whiskey has had 60 days of barrel training. He's going to be push-style horse. He's also very raidy. Only reason he's for sale is I like a free runner, and he's going to be push, so we're just not a good fit. What the hell is a free runner and a push? I credit myself with knowing horses. I've never heard of a push-style free runner. They want one that runs away, and this horse is, like, too slow. I don't know. That's a bad ad.
I don't know either.
That's somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about.
I don't know about you, but I'm going for Chelsea with the $5,000 quiet horse that you can't do anything with. We got the most play out of that one.
I don't know. I like Beth the Great Dane. I like Jennifer, you're a tiebreaker. Great Dane for a guinea pig. Come on. That was hilarious. Jennifer?
Jennifer, are you there?
You're on mute.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going with the Great Dane.
Okay, Beth. Boy, she's sleeping on the couch tonight. Beth sent that one in. Beth wins. Beth, I don't know how to say your last name, Beth, so I won't. You win, Beth. So Beth wins the rider's sleeves, and I see Jennifer out here wearing hers every single day, even in the heat of the summer, because they keep the sun and the bugs off, and they're very cool. And I'm trying to talk really slow, and I'll tell you why. Is because, but and thank you everybody for sending in the ads. You can send them in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, put really bad ads in the subject line, copy and paste the entire ad into the email. Before we go here, Jamie, I am talking really slow because here it is. With one rider left, the dressage freestyle, it was Adeline Cornelison left. Charlotte Desjardins has taken the lead with are you ready for this? 92.
Oh, my gosh. How many perfect tens did she get?
It's hard to tell. I can't tell with this scoring, actually. But 92, out of 100, right? So 100's the top score. And Helen Langenhandenberg from Germany with Damon Hill is in second with an 88. There's one rider left with Adeline riding. And so it looks like Charlotte might take her second gold medal for this. How can anybody beat a 92? Nobody's going to beat a 92.
And nobody can follow her. I mean, nobody after her is going to beat her score. I thought if you needed to kill some time, Glenn, I would do this.
My little pony going into a holiday with you. We can't hear you.
Way to go, Charlotte. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, she's really good. I can't wait to watch that test, actually. And over on the eventing side, it looks like the ranking has not changed. There's about five riders left to go. And we still have William Fox Pitt. We have Jonathan Pageant, Michael Young, Ingrid Klimke, and Tim Price in the top five at this point. So United States, the first rider down the list is Philip Dutton on Trading Aces in eighth place currently. But that will all change tomorrow. And you can, for $14, buy a 24-hour pass for FEI. So if you just want to watch cross country, you can do that tomorrow.
Awesome.
All right, that's it. But you have to, by the way, I want to mention also, you have to get up at 2 in the morning because that's when it starts. Just mention that.
Never mind. I'm not going to do it.
All right,
everybody.
On Tuesday with Emily for the jumping show. So you'll have a lot of fun with Emily. She's a lot of fun.
Good. I know nothing about jumping jumpers, so we'll learn together, everybody. Everybody have a great weekend, 3-day weekend. Go ride your ponies, spay, neuter, geld, all those fun things, and enjoy.
You've jumped horses a heck of a lot more than I have. So.
Yeah.